Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I think about it, you know, remember when I was in Rome on the way to Israel, and we stopped off there, and we thought, you know, hey, you know, we got a little bit of layover here. We're going to go and tour Rome. We're going to tour, how's it go, tour Rome. We're going to tour Rome. And so we walk down, and there's just like, we're being like just onslaughted by all these people who just were so, just, they just wanted us to have a tour of Rome. They were like all over.
They're so kind to you.
Yeah, but they, you know, they just, they just didn't speak English. Anyway, so they were, and so, you know, they go, oh, well, you know, we'll do it for this, we'll do it for that, but it didn't sound like that, you know, and so we're trying to figure out what to do. We got our little, I guess, Lear calculators out or whatever, trying to figure out, you know, what it costs to do whatever. And then finally somebody gets a wise idea. We don't need these guys who actually live here. We don't need these guys who can get to anywhere in Rome that you need to go. Let's just go ahead and rent our own car. Oh. So not only do we not know how to drive in Rome, we don't even know where we are in Rome. And so we have a car full of this.
I know what that means.
Yeah, and so, you know, and so we have a map. We have a map.
Oh, and no GPS, huh?
Oh, no. We have a map. It's a piece of paper. It's a paper map on a piece of paper. For those listeners who don't know, I used to print maps on paper. It used to not be in Google's database. Anyway, so we had this map, and so I was a passenger. I was a passenger, and I was held captive. It was a bondage. And so they just started driving, you know, and it's like, you know, before you start, you know, driving somewhere, you first need to know where you're at. Because they just assumed that the map that they had, that they knew where they were on it. You know, and so just started driving these major highways, and all the signs were written not in English, and we went around, and they had this huge Ferris wheel, just one big tire, you know, one big Ferris wheel, and we would pass by it, and it'd be on the right side of us, you know, and 15 minutes later we'd pass by it, it'd be on the left side of us, you know, and then we'd pass by on the other side, and it's like, we're not going anywhere. We're seeing the same ruins every day. I mean, what is going on here, guys? You gotta get, and they're like, "We're lost. We're lost." And like, look at the map, but the map wasn't written in English, and they didn't even know where they were. And of course, I didn't know where I was, and they didn't care. They just kept driving like me. I'm like, "We're gonna have to find out. I am not gonna ride around in some car not knowing where we are, and besides this is just a stopping point, we're going to Israel, I don't want to stay in Rome." And so finally I just said, stop, you know, and they stopped because they were at the end of themselves, they didn't know what to do. And I took this map that they had, that they were confident in, as they rented a car to drive around, try to, you know, I don't know, just Americans, where, you know, Lord forgive us, you know. And so and then they looked at us every time, you know, people in Rome, they look at you like, yeah. You know, it's like okay, I'll tolerate you for a minute if you buy a sandwich. And it was bad. And so I walk up this hill in this park, and these two soldiers are standing, you know, in this park near this city, near the Ferris wheel, I'm sure. And I open the map up, and I lay it on the hood of their car, or their Jeep, or whatever. And I don't speak their language. They don't speak my language. And I throw my arms out, I'm like, "Where am I? You know, help us!" You know, and I'm like pointing at the map, throwing my shoulders up, my hands up. It's like, lost. He leans over and he speaks a little bit of English. He goes, "Stupid American." No, he doesn't. You know? And so he looks at the map, and they both study it, and then they laugh, for some reason, and they look at each other, they look at the map and laugh, and they come back and says, where you are is not on this map. You know, and I'm thinking like, my goodness.
A map of France it was?
Well, it was a map of Russia. No, it you know, they just, you know, you don't just start doing something. You first got to find out where you are, and once you find out where you are, you need to know where you're going. And so when you hear about, you know, God's word is a lamp unto my feet, it tells you where you are on the map of all creation and your life and why God created you, that he has a plan for your life. He has a destiny for your life. And not only that, first find out where you are, because you might need to repent. You might need to find out, oh, I am in a wrong territory here. I need to change the territory I'm in. So it's a lamp unto my feet, you know, and it's the Psalms 119 that I'm talking about. And it's a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path, which means not only is it going to tell you where you are in your life, but this is why many people avoid it. This is George Barna's survey said, like, only 18% of the people who profess to be Christians are reading their Bible. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That means only 18% potentially know where they are and where they're going. Mm-hmm. And the rest of them are in the dark.
Right.
That's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what that means, right? Because if you have no lamp or light, you're in the dark. You're like, you're seeing the same thing over and over again in your life, just like the Ferris wheel situation. You're seeing it again and again and again, and you're getting frustrated. But you know what? You're never stopping and facing the fact that you don't know where you are and you don't know where you're going. And you got to go to God's word to find out where you're at, you know, and you got to begin to, and we call that abiding. You just got to hang out with God. You got to let his light, the light of God's word, shine upon you where you're at. Don't just go around shining God's word on everybody else and never applying it to yourself. Hmm. Realize that it's actually on all of us. And there are, I mean, the religious spirit that goes around is it's about shining the light on everybody else, but it never shines the light on themselves. And so everybody says, well, I'm not going to apply the accurate light you shine on me, because you're not applying that same light to yourself, because they say you're in the dark while you're telling me to be in the light. But if you'll shine the light on yourself first, the light of God's word, and then adjust accordingly, thank God for the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God and the cross of Christ and the power involved in that, then you can begin to shine the light to know what your destiny is. And there was nothing more frustrating to look at people who weren't willing to communicate, you know, and they were going to help, you know, me minister in Israel. And then there was nothing more frustrating than to people who won't admit that they were wrong in the beginning of their venture, that they're not in this map anywhere. And, you know, not willing to trust the fact that, you know, just because they don't speak your language doesn't mean what they're saying is they're going to, you know, take advantage of you when they're going to drive you around and show you. It's sometimes it's worth paying a little bit more for wisdom. Because in the long run, ignorance costs you a lot more money. Sometimes it costs you your life. And luckily it didn't cost us a flight. And you know, I'm the kind of person that's like, you know, I'm not going to circle around too many more times. And when I look, I don't know what it is, you know, and I pray, Lord, if it's not of you, that you'd remove it from my life. But I look at the church today and I feel like I'm passing that same Ferris wheel. And I'm like, are you here again after 90 days? Are you here in the same spot again? Are you singing one more song? Are you sitting between those same pews one more time? Are you jumping on God's people again, telling them to do something that you know they're not going to do because what you set up does not allow for them to be activated in the kingdom of God? I might think about this sign that was sent to me in this group on Facebook, and it said, it said something like, pastors lead and feed, and the sheep swallow and follow. Pastor, and he had his name underneath it. I'm like, dude, are you serious? Are you serious? And then I was like, and the person who shared this with me, they go, serious? And then I'm like, this is horrific. And then I thought, dude, this could be prophetic. Because it's like, am I really supposed to do something? Because every time I start to do something, you tell me I can't do it. Because if I go do it, then I'm not going to be here in your thing anymore. And so I feel guilty for not doing what you tell me to do. But when I go do it, you make me feel guilty for going to do it. This is a religious spirit. You're supposed to train me up in the way I should go. And I should not depart from it. I should go out into the harvest field and do something with it. You should have taught me to hang out with God, find out where I am on the map, show me God's destiny for my life, train me up and realize, you know, giftings can take you places that character can't keep you, so I need to be rightly related to make sure that I deal with my flesh and my stupidity that happens in our lives. But in that, I need to be faithful because I'll answer alone before God. I mean, no witnesses, no suspects. But yet, you make me feel guilty when you preach to me, but then you make me feel ashamed when I go do what you want me to do. And it's like, maybe that sign is serious. I mean, he put his name underneath it. The pastor put his name underneath it. He said, pastors, they lead and feed, and sheep swallow and follow. And it's like, no, that's not. It's the Great Commission. The Great Commission's for all of us. He said, listen, I want you to go. I was sent into the world, Jesus said. My Father sent me to make his name known, to bring glory to him. And as I was sent in the world, I'm sending you in the world. Listen, we're in America and it ain't good right now in regards to the things of God, because we are caught between guilt and shame. It's like, I hear the message, but last year when I tried doing this, I felt the shame for doing it because I was going to have to leave you to do it. But, you know, in a natural sense, when you have natural children, you're not concerned about them leaving. You're trying to escalate the thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's really time. Did you ever look beyond this place?
Yeah, right.
Did you ever think about getting your own pantry? You know what I'm saying? Did you ever think about getting your own house? I mean, that's a normal way of doing things. But now you got like 40-year-old kids living with 60-year-old parents, and the parents are going, how do I get rid of them? Parents talk, and they go, listen, I think I'm just going to change states, you know? And it's like, and now you got the government tying adult children to parents till they're 26 years old. I'm like, dude, come on, grow up. But you know what? The church is not growing up. The church is not growing up. And when he says that the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, it lets us know where we're at and where we're going. If only 18% are even reading the word, and only 3% are concerned about the consequences of that word on their heart, it's not even 18%. It's only 3%. A percentage of the 18%, mind you, is concerned about the conditions of their heart and where they're going. They don't even care. You know, it doesn't care. We live in a blessed land. You can be stupid for a long time in a blessed land.
Yeah.
I mean, just drive around. Just drive around. It's like, how long have you been that stupid? How does this work? How could you... You know, they say, when's the last time you worked? Oh, I don't know, 5 years ago. But you're fat. How did you get that big? You haven't worked. And where do you live at? Oh, I live in this thing. And you got cable? You hadn't worked in 5 years and you got cable?
You got a phone?
Got a cell phone. Got a smartphone. Smartphone. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on. Just because you're able to live and be stupid in a blessed land don't mean you're not going to be held accountable for being stupid. You know, you alone are going to be held accountable before God for your own actions. You cannot blame yourself on anybody. Everybody's held personally accountable. And America's like, my goodness, they're blaming anybody and everybody. And I was watching a particular documentary where they're talking to these kids, and these kids were like, yeah, it's my dad's fault. It's my mom's fault. You know, my dad left us and this is going on. And then God showed me a vision of like five generations being taught to at the same time, because every boy becomes a father, every woman, girl becomes a mother. And so now all her kids and his kids begin to blame them for it. And so imagine now a counseling session, like you're skipping all the life in between and you're talking just to kids, you know, like 10 generations, and you're having a choir conversation. You might as well talk to them all at the same time. So you're telling me the last 40 years was none of y'all's fault. Nobody took ownership of this whole thing. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You're talking to some kids that were kids in the 50s. You're talking to kids that were kids in the 70s. You're talking to kids that were kids in the 80s. Now you're talking to kids that were in the O's, you know? And if that argument's true, if that stupid argument is true, then nobody's responsible for anything, and God is unfair by holding you personally accountable for your life. The truth is, you got to take ownership. The word blame stands for, but look at my excuse. But that doesn't work at the throne of God.
Right.
Listen, we have to change our mind. Listen, get tired of ignorance. I can't watch stupid anymore. I mean, I remember I used to watch Lucille Ball show years ago, and it was funny. It was funny because it was stupid, you know, but it was kind of light stupid. You know what I'm saying? And stupid light. And then, but then it's like, there became so many things like Lucy, you know, in reality, it's like, I just can't watch stupid. As a matter of fact, today's wisdom moment we're talking about talks about that. You know, we're going to be talking about it's better to face a mother bear who lost her cubs than it is to face a fool and his folly. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And it's like, you know, just we got to quit being stupid. We've got to quit it. We got to stop it. Listen, we're going to be held accountable for this. We're going to be held accountable for this life. You know, and it's just what he said. A person who will not listen to instruction is stupid. That's what Proverbs says. And so we have to go, you know, I'm not going to be stupid. I'm not going to not know. I want to know. I want the light of God's word to be shown on my life. And listen, this is going to be a day where Jesus, he said over and over again, he said, follow me. And he went on. And right now in America, what we do is say, follow me, and then someone says no, and then we spend 6 years in counseling trying to convince them to follow God instead of just going, okay, see you, bye, and go to the next. Because there are people who want to know what God has to say. There are people who believe God. There's a people who want to know where they are on the map, and they're tired of looking at the Ferris wheels in their life. There is a people. You know what? And wide is the road that leads to destruction, most people are going to go that way, but the narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few that find it. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you that get off the stupid wide road and get on the narrow road, and realize that all of eternity is weighing in the balance, and God's plans for you are good, plans to bless you and prosper you. And no matter how bad it looks, it will look good for you, because God can turn things around if he'll find some people of his that'll turn their hearts around to follow him. I want to encourage you this morning. If you have not yet made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm not saying that, you know, you are not an American Christian. I mean, everybody in Islam says everybody in America is a Christian.
Right.
I mean, everybody in America says everybody's a Christian. Right. It's, you know, he's like, I just wanted to know if you're a Christian or not. It's like, where do you go to church? And they go, I go to church at 123 such and such street. Oh, okay. Do you even care what they believe? Do they even show up? Most people don't even show up. They don't even know. Either somebody's dying on their deathbed, right? What do they say? They go, bring my family around my bed, because this is the last time I'm going to see them, you know, and bring my pastor. What's my pastor's name again? What's our pastor's name again? I remember seeing it on the sign. But I couldn't see him from the distance between me and him every Easter when I came. Uh-oh. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, bring him here because I need my last rites. And they say, well, you're Pentecostal. It's like, okay, that was a movie I saw. But listen.
Oh, my.
And it's like, you know, we have two regrets when people have two regrets when they're about to die. And you can eliminate those today. One is that I want to see my family because I'm about to leave them. There's nothing else I could do for them. And the other regret is I'm about to see God. I'm going to answer for things I didn't do or did do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you can eliminate those regrets today by saying, you know what? I want to know where I'm at on this map. I want to begin an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But first, I want to know where I'm at on it. So you need to find the cross. You need to find the cross on the map of your life. You need to go make Jesus the Lord of your life. You need to, if you don't know how to make him the Lord of your life, listen, we've helped you out. You can go to meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories when we were wondering and we were lost, and a few of us were lost, you know, a few of our stories, and you can kind of see, like, we're all over the map. And then when we found God, then we found who we were and where we were on the map, and then God began to shine his light in our life. And you know, yeah, we got off track a couple of times, and you know, but the fact is, we knew we were still on the map. We were still in God's will, and God was is directing us. And you can have that. There's nothing like knowing where you're at and knowing where you're going. And there's nothing more frustrating than to not know where you're at and not know where you're going and knowing what life's about. And so you can go to meetmyfather.org. But right now, you can just cry out to Jesus, say, "Lord, I want you in my life. Jesus, I need you. I want your light on me, around me, and I want to see where you want me to go. I'm ready to surrender my life to you. I have done wrong. I am lost. There's nothing I can do outside of my own works. I need you, Jesus. Be the Lord of my life. And he'll come into your life right then. And then you can go to Meet My Father and find out what to do next. Meetmyfather.org. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.